Good afternoon. You're listening to Rumour Jordan on I Heard a Rumour. It's 3 o'clock and 3 o'clock is special guest time. And I would like to welcome back to the studio Neil Andrews, who was in around this time last year. And a very, very lucky, or we could say hard-working gentleman who's turned a passion into a job. Welcome, Neil, to the studio again.
Thank you. It feels like I'm at home.
Yes, yeah. And it's really funny because I was looking back on my diary and it was around this time last year, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yep.
Yeah. Now, Neil, give us a little bit background on you, because we know that you have a passion for football. So tell us about that, first of all.
Yeah, well, I started obviously as a young kid, but I managed to progress quite well as a schoolboy. I managed to play for Wimbledon as a schoolboy and as an apprentice. But I knew that it was going to be a struggle for me to actually make the grade in England. I got messed around. I sort of went on loan to different teams, Stafford Rangers, went to Epsom and Newell, Sutton United. And I just knew things weren't... By the time I was sort of getting to 19, 20, I knew that I weren't really going to make it. And I just got a little bit of a fluke. I had a cousin that had a place in America, and I went out to America. And while I was out there, I got a phone call from an old coach, and he asked me to come out for a trial for a team in America. And it was in the MPSL, which is indoor football.
Oh, right, okay.
And anyway, I went out for a trial, and I ended up spending 15 years there.
Playing football there.
I played 8 years professionally there in the MPSL. And during that time, I started doing football camps and schools of excellence for the Dayton Dynamo. And then eventually, once I left Dayton Dynamo, for my own camps.
Okay. So you stayed in America, and the football you were playing, was that indoor football?
Yes, it was. Yeah, all in the where the Chicago Bulls play, the Horizon Center. We had a beautiful stadium ourselves, held around 16,000-17,000. We used to have 16,000-17,000 on a regular basis.
So you're quite famous out there then.
I wouldn't go as far as to say famous. It was right before the MLS. We were sort of a little bit of a... Because we also used to do 11-a-side exhibition games for the MLS that was coming along at that time.
What's MLS?
MLS is the American League, the Professional American League, that is now established over in America.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yes.
So what is the Eurostar football camps then?
Right, the Eurostar football camp started after I finished my career with the Dayton Dynamo. And I was based in New Hampshire, which is on the East Coast. The football that I played, Dayton, was in Ohio, but I based on in New Hampshire. And I had about 8 different venues in New Hampshire, but I also had 2 venues in Memphis. I had 2 venues in a beautiful place called Nahant, which is just off the Boston Harbor, and I had 2 venues down in Florida.
Wow, so why did you give it up?
Oh, long story, you know, I actually got divorced. I had to make a choice of whether I was going to carry on my career doing that there or come back home and start again. And I decided to come back home.
So you had a really successful football venture going on in America.
Yes.
So when you went back to the UK... Did you try and pick that up straight away?
Yes, I did, but it was very difficult. Obviously, the competition and the actual the coaching is a lot more fierce in England than it was in America, and it sort of just fettered away. I just didn't pursue it anymore. Mm. I run a flooring business for a number of years, and. Until this opportunity in Spain came along, and it's been amazing.
It is. I mean, we could say that, you know, COVID really played a good part for you here, because you bought a place on Condado.
Yes.
I'm presuming as a holiday home whilst you were running your business in the UK.
Correct.
And then tell us what happened.
Well, then we had a couple of meetings with some friends of ours that lived out there, and I was just asking them, what do the kids do on here? And they said, there is nothing at the moment, you know, especially just after COVID.
Yeah.
I asked them about the football camps, and they said they did have someone, you know, a few years ago that used to, you know, just turn up and help out, and kids would turn up. But since then, nothing had happened. So I said, what's the chances of me starting one up here? And they got me in touch with the people that own the actual football pitches on Condado. And they said, well, you can have a trial. Mm-hmm. I set up a website, and I was a little bit clever. I'd done a register of interest for the summer, yeah. even though my trial was in May. And before you know it, I had 50 sign-ups for the summer period. And they said, it's yours, go ahead. So I started in that May.
Was that May 20?
It would have been 2020. It was the very, we was pretty much the first.
After lockdown. I think that was 21.
21, yeah. Yeah. And it's we now currently have close on 800 kids a year that come to the camp.
Oh my goodness! Yeah. And you don't even live out here permanently, do
no.
you?
No.
So you're having to manage all that from the UK, then you come here
yes.
and you conduct the yes. actual football camps.
Yes.
So tell me how it works. Is it just through the summer?
No, we do Easter.
Okay.
We do some half terms, although it's becoming increasingly difficult to do the half terms because a lot of the schools now, especially in England, so obviously this is a holiday rental, so a lot of the people are holiday makers. But what they're doing now in England is they're actually putting the half terms in different dates. So
yeah.
it's making it very difficult.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're cutting down on the half terms,
yeah.
but Easter is one that we do every year, and then obviously 7 weeks of the summer.
And you don't do one around Christmas time?
No.
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 Okay, so if you've got 800 kids, how do you work that out?
Right, well, 800 kids is not all at the same time. I'm talking about over the course of 7 weeks, we have 800 kids.
Ah,
so
right.
We average, and at the moment, I have two new recruits that are helping coaching. One young man who's called James. He's from Birmingham University, training to be a PE teacher, and he wanted to come out to get some experience.
Yeah.
So he's out helping me at the moment. And we've got a young man called Luke, who is at Loughborough College,
mm-hmm.
which is a prestigious sporting school for football, actually. And he's learning to be a sports science.
Okay.
He's learning for sports science. And so I've got some help this year.
Yeah.
So I can now actually have a few more numbers and be able to split
yeah.
the groups up, which is really nice.
Okay, so is it mainly Brits kids?
I would say 75% British. And I can't even put that because there's not very many Spanish to go, but we have a lot of Dutch, a lot of Belgium, French.
Mm-hmm.
So the other 25% are a mixture of nationalities,
yeah,
which
yeah.
is quite nice.
And how does give me an outline of a typical camp, like from start to finish?
Well, what I would say is that the camps are unique that I run because you could come to the camp having never kicked a football before, and you could come to the camp be an academy player, and you'd both go away feeling happy with what's happened because. We set it up into games where it's not always with the ball. Some of the games that we play are without the ball, body movement, shape, the way that you move, and then we introduce the ball. But mostly they get a chance to feel good about themselves and be in their camaraderie with meeting new friends.
Yeah.
And then we do little miniature games where I set them up against. Very
evenly matched. Yeah.
And then we open it up to a game where we play five-a-side games, and then we finish with a penalty competition, which has become infamous because we give away medals every day.
Oh, brilliant.
Trophies for the ones that win the most penalties
yeah.
at the end of the week, and we have sponsors on site that are sponsors each week. So each week they have a sponsorship that give the medals and the trophies and some T-shirts we give away
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
So so they all go away having lots of fun. We had our first presentation at the Clover Bar on Friday night. We must have had at least We must have had at least, I don't know, 30 or 40 people turn up for it. Brilliant. Which was, yeah, fantastic.
And is it girls and boys? Or
girls and boys.
And is it mixed sex teams?
Mixed sex teams. And what we do is we do 7 years old to 11 years old, 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock, and then 10:30 to 11:30 is 12 years old to 16 years old.
Right, okay. So you're only playing in the mornings?
Yes, too hot to play in the afternoons.
Yeah, that's true.
So we'd love to do it a lot longer, but there's just no way, you know. Yeah. Even by 11:30, it started. I mean, today was extremely hot.
Yeah.
But they love it, you know, they absolutely love it. And it gives them something to do on the site. You know, it gives the parents a break.
Well, I was going to say, you're the babysitter.
Sometimes, but most of the kids that come, they want to come to play football, you know. Yeah. And I make it an enjoyable environment, fun time, and they all go away with smiles on their faces, which is, you know.
Yeah,
it's great.
That's fantastic. Yeah. So, is this something that you plan to keep on doing?
100%. Yes. Yeah. I love coaching. I love being around the kids. Yeah. It's absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Yes.
Well, you can see your passion there. Now, last year, I don't know if any listeners will remember that last year you bought the Bury Ladies. Do they call them ladies or women's?
It was Bury FC Ladies, yes.
Ladies football team.
That's right,
into the studio, and they were amazing. They were so passionate. They all had jobs, and they all dedicated time to playing football. Their team spirit was incredible. It was sort of something that I think that all young women should be looking at and thinking about, rather than the trend seems to be for young women to, I want to be famous, I want to be an influencer. Yeah, well, maybe learn something and then influence on that. So this was amazing, you bringing the Bury women's football team here. How has that progressed since? Because that was the first time you bought anyone over here.
Yes, it was. It was the first time I'd done a tour. And again, just from the idea of the football camps, I thought about doing the a tour. And I was lucky enough, very lucky enough, to get Bury FC on board with it. And
How did you do that in the first place?
I put some ads out on Facebook that I run football tours. And the lady is Kerry, who came in, fantastic. I mean, they honestly so nice, and they got in contact with me, and they said they wanted to come out here. I arranged a couple of games for them to play against some local opposition, and they also actually had a match where they played amongst themselves, they just, I've learned that the tour, the football, is a minuscule part of the experience. You know, that it is. It's getting to know each other, and memories. You know, they'll never forget the time that they come out and they done it. Obviously, on your radio show or two, which, you know, they loved. You know, they loved being here. But they were fantastic. Yeah. It was a good first tour for me.
Yeah, and I guess from not knowing what to expect, next time round, you've got almost like a template of how you want it to go, whether, you know, you want it to go the same way, whether you want to tweak it, make changes. It's all like a learning experience for you.
Yes, it has. I mean, it's worked out very, very well. The girls were a great first for me. But if you remember, when they came here, they came on tour while I was doing the football camps.
Yeah.
So it was really difficult to do both. Most of the tours that I'm now doing, so it's now progressed where next year in 2026, I actually have 10 tournaments that are going on, from men's over 35s, men's over 50s, men's over 60s, all on different dates. April 25th, April 26th, 2026 is the men's over 50s. May 9th and May 10th is men's over 35s. June 6th and 7th is men's over 60s. We have in between those dates two men's walking football tournaments.
So how did you recruit these men? Are they footballers in the UK?
So I advertised for teams to come away. I sort out all their travel, their accommodation, their trips to the actual games are either played at Mazaron, Deportivo, or in Horadada.
Right.
There's a beautiful facility in Horadada. In fact, it's brand new facility.
Yeah.
And we've used that twice. In fact, we had two tournaments this year, earlier on this year, which I had England vets come over. We had Cat Seal Super Vets come over. And six other teams that were in the tournament, all flown over from England. Sorry, that's not true. Internacional Cartagena.
Yeah.
They played in the tournament.
Wow.
And we had another team called Portobello that came and played in the tournament. But we have Portobello is like an expats team that is out near Camp Verde. Yes.
Okay.
The tournaments have been going fantastic. And I've got a women's tournament this year on the 27th and 28th of September.
Brilliant.
Yes.
You're going to bring them in here, aren't you?
Yes. You've invited me again, and I can't
absolutely
say no.
Absolutely. No, it's just inspirational. To me, it's like, you know, watching the ladies. Let's talk about yesterday as well.
Absolutely fantastic.
And do you know what really sort of grinds my gears is the fact that I looked up how much they get paid and then looked at how much the England men's team get paid. And I just thought it's just so disproportionate when you look at the passion, the level of playing and skill with those women. And okay, yeah, the men, they're good and all the rest of it. But really, it doesn't equate.
No, it doesn't. I'm only hoping that it's going to get better for the women.
Yeah.
But how, again, the passion. The one thing I'd say about the England team, I didn't think they were the best team, even though they won the tournament. But they had a little bit of a grit and a bit of determination and never give up.
No.
They didn't give up. And it was a fantastic tournament. I would say better than the last Euros, which they won.
Yeah.
I think that this was a more impressive win for them because they done it, I think, with not such as good team as they had in the last one.
Okay.
Commend, you know, the coach, obviously, she's done a fantastic job
she's
with them.
Amazing,
she's been amazing.
She?
Yeah. But what a great, you know, it was just fantastic.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic.
Okay, so next year you've gone even bigger, so much so that this has become
my full-time job now, yes.
And that's incredible.
It is incredible.
So what does it entail? So if you put adverts out there on Facebook and you say something like, looking for football teams who would like to come and play in Spain or something, is that something?
Yeah, something like, but I put out adverts for tournaments at certain dates and then I target the age group that that I'm looking at. So for example, the men's over 50s, because I had eight teams that played in the tournament this year, all eight teams have signed up to come back again.
Nice.
So this year, next year, is a 16-team tournament. They've mentioned it to other teams.
Yeah.
And now I've got 16 teams already, and we're nearly a year away from the actual tournament. So we're actually full up. I can't take any more.
No.
In total, we have, at the moment, it's going to be more, but at the moment, I have 32 teams that I'll be bringing over from England to Spain to play in various tournaments.
Yeah. So do you have to find their accommodation?
Yes.
Hire the coaches or whatever to
do? Yes. Yeah, so I do. I deal with their flights. I deal with their accommodation, their trips from the airport to the to the resort. And then trips to the venue that we play at.
Mm.
We have referees for each game, linesmen for each game.
So you have to recruit all of them
Yes,
well.
Yeah. The tournaments are now, it's quite big.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yep, referees, linesmen, obviously trophies are involved, medals, trophies, and Just a really good vibe as well. Good vibe.
Because obviously they get a bit of downtime as well, and they can go and do a bit of visiting and eating some good food in restaurants as well.
Yep, they can choose. They can choose a 3-day package or 4-day package or 5-day package. Obviously, the longer they stay, the more downtime they get. Mm-hmm. There are some that come in, play the games, and then take off. But on the last day, on the Sunday, we have a big after party that's generally by one of the sponsors of whatever tournament it is.
Right.
And
okay.
It's been absolutely fantastic. It's been brilliant.
So if somebody here, there's a business here, wants to be a sponsor, can they do that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
They can, yes.
And all they have to do is get in touch with you?
Just get in touch with me, either at the website, which is www.condadofutbol.com, or neil@condadofutbol.com, my email address. Yeah, if they get in contact. On the website, it has all the information for contacts, and we have a special sponsors page.
Right, so, okay. Yes. Brilliant, brilliant. And what does the sponsor have to do?
Get in touch and find out what level of sponsorship they want to.
Okay,
they want
so you
to
do different levels.
Yes, different
as well.
Levels of sponsorship.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Brilliant. Okay. So let's go back to the football camps that you do here. Whereabouts on Condado are they?
So if you come through the security gate and take a left towards the Jardins part of the resort. Between Jardin 7 and 5, there is some tennis courts and some paddleball courts, and the football pitch is just behind the paddleball
right.
courts.
Okay. And you said it's for boys and girls, but what age group are you looking at?
Well, we have 7 to 11 years old, and then we have 12 to 16. But we also, next week, we're starting a toddler group, which is 3, 4, and 5 years old.
Oh, I'd love to watch that.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. But we're only going to do that on a Tuesday and a Thursday.
But
it is fun.
You've got to video it and put it out there, because they're just kids that young have just got minds of their own, and they'll do whatever they want to do, regardless of what you're going to do.
Exactly. Exactly. Which makes it great.
You're very brave. So what about if there are, I know with the toddlers, none of them will have played football before, but what about if somebody came along, as a child came along, and they'd never played before, but they were quite interested? Because it can be quite daunting for children, can't it, going into a group?
It can be, and also I have a few parents that say, my son or daughter are 5 or 6 years old, can they join in with the camp? And sometimes they can come along, and some kids, they mature at different levels and different ages, but I say to them, if they're 6 years old or 5 years old, look, they can join in, but be close. Because it is daunting for them to walk in and see a 10-year-old, play on the same pitch. But if you come along and you haven't played before, like I say, a lot of our stuff is body movement, moving between the cones, how to adjust your body, adjust your feet, shuffling your feet between the cones rather than striding between the cones. Little races that they can get involved in.
So it's kind of like a sports day-ish thing.
The thing is, if you've got someone that comes along and haven't played football before, if you introduce a ball straight away to them, then there's other people that are around that are doing things better than they can. And then they get disappointed, and they you don't want that disappointment.
Sure.
So if you put in some other games without the ball, I mean, we even have silly games where, which is like head, shoulders, knees and toes, and they put a cone in front, and they've got an opposition, and then I shout out cone, and they have to pick up the cone straight away. Well, then you replace that with a ball, and then you say, okay, head, shoulders, knees and toes, and then take away the ball instead of taking away the cone.
Right.
It's introducing the ball, touches with the tops of the bottoms of their foot on top of the ball.
Yeah.
A simple skill, but it's getting used to. Yeah. It's getting used to.
And turning it, rather than turning it being an instruction, it's turning it into a game that's into a fun.
Into a fun game, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And they go away loving it and wanting to come back,
yeah,
and do it some
I
more.
Bet. Okay, so, and as you said before, that their favourite thing to do is the penalty shooter.
Yes, it is,
at the
yes.
end. And then you have the sponsors who come along and give them trophies. And it's an all-round thing, isn't it? It's
yes,
like,
it is.
You know, start from playing some games, warm up, and then actually getting to grips with the ball, and then doing a bit of competition thing.
Yep.
And then doing the trophy and the
presentation. We give out
yeah,
T-shirts,
yeah.
We give out the medals and yeah. the trophies.
It's a really well thought out, I think. Very well thought out, the way you've done
it. I've been doing it a lot of years.
Yeah,
you know, I've been doing it a lot of years, and it is unique because, you know, most coaches have a team of, let's just say it's under 16s or under 12s or under 10s,
yeah.
and they're all roughly of the same ability.
Yeah.
That's different type of coaching. This is coaching where, you know, you could have someone that walks in and has never kicked the ball before,
yeah.
but you could also have someone that has and plays really well. But you have to be able to let him have as much fun as a novice.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Brilliant. Okay, so have we covered everything? Yeah, we've got the tournaments for next year. We've got the ladies, the women who are coming this year and hopefully coming into the studio.
Just so you know, it's not just the UK teams. In the women's tournament in September, we have two Polish teams and a team from Lithuania coming out. So.
Oh, wow. That's,
yes.
That's, how did you... They heard about it
and got in contact with me and, yeah.
This yep. is it. This is all around the world. Who knows?
It's, Condado football is becoming a name,
yeah.
yes.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So soon you'll be recruiting people to work for you.
Well, my partner, Trez, she's already a part of the team. She's now a fully, you know, she's doing pretty much all the
admin
for yeah. the camps, the kids' camps. So yeah, I need the help.
That's fantastic. Now, before you go, give us all your details again for anybody. If there's any footballers out there who've got a team that they want to get in touch with you, or any parents with. So, oh, one other thing: is it just children who live on Condado?
No, we have. In fact, this week we had a kid that come along. They were staying at Torrey Golf Course.
Oh, okay.
We do get kids come up from Camposol.
And the pool as well, you're open to...
Sorry?
You're open to kids from the pool anyway.
Yes, yes. Alhama.
Yep.
Yes, they're more than welcome.
Brilliant.
More than welcome.
Okay, so if you can give us your contact details again.
Yeah, that's www.condadofutbol.com or email me at neil@condadofutbol.com. Yep.
Perfect. Neil, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure.
For coming into the studio. I'm going to say goodbye to you, and hopefully we will see you in September. And the Smiths, and what difference does it make? Well, you certainly made a difference.
Thank you, Ruma.
Secrets and here is mine, so let it be known. For we have been through hell and high tide. I think I can rely on you. And yet you start to recoil. Heavy words are so lightly thrown. But still I leap in front of a flying bullet for you. So what difference does it make? So what difference does it make? Because I've only got two hands, but I'm still fond of you. I hope well, I'm still fond of you.